All right. You are listening to The Real World on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. And if this is your first time tuning in, we are UBC Film Society's radio show where we talk about all things film and some other film-related events that we have coming up. We've got Maps to the Stars screening tomorrow at 6 p.m., so we hope to see you there. And if you want to stay updated with what we're doing, what we're hosting, you can always follow us on Instagram at UBC Film Society. And today we have a very special guest, returning guest on the show to talk about a very fun topic, hockey with Zach.
Yay!
Welcome, Zach.
And Hannah and Emma.
Yeah. We've never been on this show before.
We need no introduction.
Oh, yeah. They know our voices. Mm-hmm. But before we get into it, as per usual, we've got some ads, all that fun stuff. So we will be right back after we play those.
What a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Are you hungry? I think I'm hungry. I think we should get ourselves something nice for our beach day.
Oh, yeah?
Oh my god, I know the perfect place. Cockney King's Fish and Chips is literally just around the corner. We should go there. It is the best fish and chips in Vancouver.
Oh my god, yes, absolutely. Let's go right now.
Cockney King's Fish and Chips, Kitsilano. On Cornwall Avenue, between Cypress and Walnut. It's the best fish and chips in town, but don't take our word for it. Try it yourself. If Kitsilano isn't your neighborhood, check out Cockney King's in Burnaby or New Westminster.
If the news are getting you down or you're tired of scrolling on your phone, Massey Books is the one-stop shop for you. A 100% Indigenous-owned business that is committed to giving back to local charities, community initiatives, and organizations, Massey Books has a vast selection of rare and unique books, as well as a diverse range of books that are from underrepresented authors. You can shop online at masseybooks.com or visit their store on 229 East Georgia Street in Chinatown. They are open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday to Saturday, and 12 to 5 from Sunday to Tuesday. Their friendly staff would love to give you a hand to find your new favorite read.
If you enjoy bluegrass and old-time music, please join up and become a member of the Bluegrass Music Association of Canada, the BMAC. With your membership, you'll receive a quarterly full-color Bluegrass Canada magazine, as well as have access to the Bluegrass Canada website. Your membership will also allow you to contribute to the nomination process of the Canadian Bluegrass Music Hall of Fame. Help BMAC promote bluegrass artists with up-to-date information, including band members, performance locations, and helpful advice for bands wishing to travel to the USA. And finally, it will allow you to access information for festivals and events across Canada, bluegrass radio listings, organization partnerships, and a resource library for all things bluegrass. To learn more, log on to bluegrasscanada.org or call Mike Higgins at membership at 905-567-4708.
What is this?
CITR 101.9 FM.
A center for ants!
What?
We're a radio station broadcasting from UBC Vancouver.
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
Visit CITR.ca.
Derek, it's just a...
I don't want to hear your excuses! The center has to be at least... 3 times bigger than this.
All right. And we're back, launching into our first movie that we're going to be discussing, which is Goon, which is a 2011 film directed by Michael Dowsey, who's a Canadian representative.
Canadian production.
From London, Ontario. And this film premiered at Toronto International Film Festival.
Let's go.
Soundtrack is full of Canadian bangers. Very, like, of... like how Canadian hockey is, all the other films are weirdly like non-Canada centric. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is probably the most Canadian centric hockey film, and even that is like,
yeah,
you know, the main stars are still not Canadian.
Yeah,
but what were your thoughts on Goon?
Well, Goon, I remember, like, we'll get into Slapshot too, but I remember Goon and Slapshot were two movies I watched so much as a kid because I've always been such a big hockey fanatic.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, we were discussing this amongst ourselves. There's, like, two kind of types of hockey movies. Mm-hmm. There is the stereotypical, like, oh, you gotta, like, win, like, you gotta do a dream, you gotta, like, achieve the dream, and it's very, like, fulfilling, it's very nice, it's, you know,
inspirational.
It's, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then there's the raunchy, stupid humor, and Goon falls into the latter category.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the titular character wears the number 69. Yeah. Jay Bruchel is such a clown in the movie.
Oh, my God.
And his funny little, what is it? It's like Hot Ice, his little...
talk show?
Yeah. And it's so funny, too, because, like you're saying, this is very Canadian. And there's, like, the Trailer Park Boys. They are, like, they're, like, running, like, the... the production, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Of it, and they like make little cameos in it, you know, and yeah, it's very Canadian. Yeah. You know, he goes from like Boston up to like Halifax.
Yeah.
And their enemy is St. John's. So yeah. It's very much a maritime.
Represent.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. But I mean, I really like it. Again, with a lot of these movies that I've seen, they kind of don't do a lot for me on rewatch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, again, like this one, you know, I watched it so much as a kid. I enjoyed all the jokes and the quips. And my only criticism is that there's not enough hockey in it.
Yeah.
You know, there's that like B plot with Alison Pill and that weird like love narrative. But yeah, I just wanted to see more hockey. But the hockey you do see is... it's very gruesome. There's a lot of blood.
Lots of
blood in this. But yeah, it's great. What about you, Hannah?
So I haven't finished this one. Guys, I was really slacking off this week. But yeah, no, I mean, again, being halfway through, I agree. A lot of blood so far. And I'm sure it'll only...
Oh, yeah. Only bloodier from
here.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Literally, you're at the tip of the iceberg of the blood.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have a lot of thoughts so far. I just think, like, Doug, the main character, is so, like, stupid. And, like, he's like a puppy. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing at all.
I love Doug. Like,
he's actually, like, he's, oh, like, what a sweetheart. Like,
there's that scene where, like, he gets rejected by Alison Pill's character. And he's, like, standing outside. And, like, the trash, like, flows into his face. And he's just like, oh, like, what? Meanwhile, he goes on the ice and he just pummels some guy.
But he just always has this look in his eyes. Like, it's like, oh, wait, like, you're just...
Literally.
Like you're just a guy.
The
like
personification of that like sad Charlie Brown walk sometimes.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah. Like
exactly.
He honestly was like holding this movie up for the first half for me. Because I think I went in kind of jaded against this, just like looking at the poster and like the time. I'm like, God, this is gonna be like they're trying to do super bad, but with hockey.
Exactly. But, it's very much early 2010s.
Yeah. Like I was so scared going in. But honestly, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. Like,
it's honestly pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like, even if it's funny and they're like, oh, this is like so hard to watch. Sometimes there are moments like that. But other times I'm like, wait, like I'm actually laughing. Like I'm actually laughing. Yeah.
Like one of my favorite lines is because like always like with hockey, the goalies are like crazy. And like the
goalie
in this
movie,
he's like, there's two rules. One, don't touch my fucking Percocets. Number two,
do you have any
fucking Percocets?
So funny. I feel like this also very much falls into like talking about how it's a Canadian film. Like I feel like even comparing it to like Miracle, which we'll talk about later, which is very like pro like USA, obviously.
It's
but
very
I feel
much
like
propaganda.
Oh yeah, no, they were going crazy with that one. I feel like most like Canadian centric films are very like self deprecating. Like the Canadian identity isn't as much like a source of pride as it is like more of like a thing to be like jested about. Like you think like
absolutely.
Even like yoga hosers or like Canadian bacon, like stuff like that. It's like the butt of the joke is like Canada and like you get all the stereotypes and
exactly.
that sort of thing.
And I love how like Liv Schreiber, his character, has like the thickest Newfie accent
so funny.
Ever. And it's so great. And he's got the handlebar mustache.
Oh my god, the mustache.
Some absolutely standout mustache action in this movie.
And then the French Canadian guy.
There's always gonna be at least one.
Yeah. I love the French Canadian.
There's that one shot when they're playing Oh, it's just like a town in Quebec, and it's like they showed like the flags, and it's like the American flag and the Canadian flag are super small, and then the Quebec flag is just massive.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's like it's very like it's fun. I don't know, like this was just a fun movie.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of like it's stupid, but it's a fun stupid. It's like
exactly,
which is the good kind of stupid. Yeah.
And it's not trying to be anything other than stupid too. No. So yeah. It's, you know, I wouldn't say it's campy, but it's yeah, it's just stupid kind of sports guy humor, I guess.
Yeah.
And yeah, like
just, you don't feel too bad laughing at it. You know?
Exactly.
It's like okay,
it wants you to laugh at it, which is the thing. Like those, is it like the Russian characters are always talking about like fucking the goalie's mom and. Yeah, they're like, oh, we're not gay, you know, but they're doing very, like, gay things. And it's so funny, to, like, how he gets into, Doug, how he gets into the game because he's, like, defending his gay brother.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was, like, that guy uses the F slur on him and he's just like, no, my brother is gay. Take it back.
And then it's, like, the slow motion too. My brother is gay. And then lands the punch.
It's so good.
Yeah, I think that was what really surprised me was honestly the politics of this movie. Like, I was expecting to fully lean into the, like, very much, like, shock humor of the early 2010s. Yeah. But I feel like they kind of gave that all to, like, Jay's character and just kind of, like, after, you know, like, Doug heads off to Halifax and we don't see Jay for a while. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and he only comes back, like, twice. So, yeah, they just hand it off to the team and let the team take the humor torch, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I really like about this movie and Slapshot as well is just how defining like each character in the locker room is.
Mm-hmm.
Because something like Miracle, I couldn't tell anyone apart.
God,
they were just they all blended together. But like for this one, you got like Kim, the guy who's like the doctor of the team, but also like a player, and then the crazy goalie, the alcoholic. Captain.
Oh, the divorce. Yeah, the recently divorced.
I was convinced that that was Bill Hader for like 90% of
the movie. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I just see like someone who looks vaguely like another actor, and my brain's like, yeah, that's him.
Huh.
And like, I looked it up afterwards, and it wasn't him. And I was losing my mind because like the entire time I was like, yeah, Bill Hader.
That'd be really? So funny if Bill Hader was in this movie, though.
It would be way above their like pay grade, but I was convinced for like 90% of this film. I was like, damn.
Wait, I'm gonna have to go back and look because I don't see the resemblance.
I don't think I saw it either, but I'll
maybe like the very like square head.
I think that's honestly it. I don't think I've spent enough time looking at Bill Hader's face for me to have like an accurate idea of what
that's
he looks
so
like in my mind. So I was like,
sure.
Like the vague Bill Hader shaped blob in my brain.
Yeah.
You really wanted this to be super bad, huh?
Yeah. I think my brain was making those connections. I was like, oh, I've seen this guy before in the 2010s comedy.
It's like produced by like Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg at the end or something. You
great.
Know? Like,
honestly, it would check out. You know?
Yeah.
Check out. Yeah. I assume they're hockey fans are from here.
Oh, exactly.
Some of their Canucks fans, hopefully.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Calgary Flames fan over here.
Yeah. Well, actually,
two
me,
of them.
Two of
you're
them.
Outnumbered.
Oh, I am outnumbered.
Evan
right
now. And who had a better shot of getting into the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about my team. My team has been disappointing me day after day. Like, it's been so bad our Twitter has gotten hacked in, like, a couple days ago. Yeah, by like some crypto scam. It was, it's been bad.
That should be in this movie. That's
it would be really funny. A little PR angle.
Yeah.
Was it the Highlanders?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, this is like speaking of Canadian content in this film.
Yeah.
Pretty much the entire soundtrack is Canadian like artists, and there's one song in particular, Barbara by the Modernettes, which is actually they were a band from Vancouver. They're formed
Let's
in the
go.
80s. Only recorded one album. And somehow they, like, dug these guys up and put their song in the movie, which, pretty fun time. I rock with it. It's
That's
a good
awesome.
Song. So I think we'll give you guys a little taste of that before we move on to keep talking about more hockey movies.
Class with Barbara.
right. That was Barbara by The Modernettes. Canadian content, so hope you guys enjoyed. And we're going to be moving on, going back in time a little bit to an earlier film of Slapshot, which, if you haven't seen it, definitely Goon is pulling a lot from Slapshot.
Yes. Like, even the mustache.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Slapshot really, I don't want to say it broke ground for hockey movies, but it really set like a precedent for like what hockey movies should be. And a lot of things like pulled and took influence from it.
Yeah. But, and it came out in 1977. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, they're all playing without helmets, which...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was so funny. Yeah. I was like, oh, right.
Two people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the helmets on the goalies. It's like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, one of them being the goalie.
The very scary... Well, it is a goalie mask, but the Jason...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The freaky one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But I'm going to be... This is the first time... Like, I'd heard whispers of this movie, but I'd never... I knew I wouldn't like it. And then this was just confirmed. Like, of the four movies I watched for this week, this one was my least favorite. Just purely out of, like, how much each of these characters is such, like, a conniving little, like, oh. It's like, I can't feel bad or root for any of them. Because it's like, you are all terrible people.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, I don't want to see, I want Paul Newman's ass off my screen. Get him out of here.
Also, what's Paul Newman is in this movie? No, I saw that. I was oh, okay.
This apparently was Paul Newman's favorite movie he ever shot.
Really?
It is. Yeah. Apparently, it's his favorite movie he ever made. He had to, like, learn how to skate for this.
Yeah.
And, wow.
It's definitely a movie.
It is a movie. It's one of the movies of all time.
I think the one thing I'll say for it is the cinematography is interesting. Like, how they shoot the players on the ice.
Yeah.
Like, from all the low angle shots. It feels like you don't get that sort of, like, intimacy a lot in, like, hockey or, like, team sports movies.
Exactly. They're all, like, over the head, behind the shoulder,
very much like you're watching a broadcast hockey game.
Exactly. Yeah.
But this is much more intimate, I think.
Yeah.
Also due to the fact they're playing, like, no hockey. Mm-hmm. So, not a lot to, over the shoulder shoot there.
But. No, literally. It's just the Iron Leagues. It's there. Yeah. You're just fighting. Like, that's, I mean, like, Goon again, but but for me, like, this is a movie, I've probably seen this movie, it's one of the movies I've watched the most I've ever, like, seen. I used to have, like, this little portable DVD player, and I had a handful of movies, just these raunchy comedies when I was, like, 8, 9, 10 that I'd watched, and this is one of them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I watched this movie when I was, like, 8 or 9.
God damn.
For the first time. Yeah, and definitely way too young, because, my goodness, it is, I remember I gave you guys a very, like, strong content warning before watching this, because it's so raunchy. It's just rampant with sexism, homophobia, no racism, because hockey is just inherently racist because it's just all white people.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's so aged. It's so my God, of its time. I have a special place in my heart for this, but it's, like, very deep buried behind a lot of other things that I have more special places for in my heart. But one of my favorite scenes just ever from any movie is the Hanson brothers' first shift. Where they just go out and they're like, because they show up to the team bringing all their toys, and, like, everyone's like, okay, fuck,
like, a bunch
guys.
Of toy cars.
Yeah, they're just kids. And then, like, one of their guys gets, like, beaten up so bad that Paul Newman's like, all right, guys, let's see what you got. And then they just go out and completely destroy everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Stick on the bench going, like,
yeah, oh, my God,
everyone,
yeah.
Shooting the puck at the...
the announcer. Oh, yeah, the organ player, yeah.
And then the next scene that he's in, he's wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that scene, like, I've watched that scene so many times, and it's great. But other scenes...
Not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for Michael Ontkean's striptease.
Yeah. Which, if anyone was listening to our David Lynch episode, which Zach was on, Michael Ontkean, of course, as Sheriff Harry Truman in Twin Peaks. So I was very happy to see him in this movie, and I was just waiting for him to come on screen every time, because it was, like, making it worth my while to watch it.
But even, like, his character, like you touched on earlier, he's, like, the one of the better people in the group, but he's still an asshole. Like, he still treats his wife like shit.
Oh, my God.
He's just not a fucking good human being, but he, At least he's no Mo.
Oh my god, yeah. Disgusting. I don't even want to do Mo. Not yeah. talk about Mo. We don't yeah. like Mo here.
No, Mo is
that was just gross.
Mo
and
is
like
gross.
It's oh my god. Also, this movie was written by a woman.
Was it?
Yes.
That's
both of your guys' I know. That was what I thought too. Because I looked and I was like, Nancy Dowd. I was like, maybe there's a guy named Nancy. I don't know. Right. No, it's a woman. She wrote this.
That's god, insane.
Damn. I didn't know that was possible, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just like what, because then I'm like, well, obviously it's like it's so exaggerated and it's like mm-hmm. this is based off her brother like played hockey like in like
yeah.
a like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
minor league and it was based on like she had him like take tape recordings in the locker room from him, and so
yeah.
she's probably like, you know, a lot of the stuff that these guys say, it's like, yeah, that's not a stretch. Like,
nope.
hello. Mm-hmm. And even now, not in the 70s, you know,
yeah.
they'd still be saying things like that. But, like, oh, my God, it's
yeah.
just, like, ugh.
Because, like, hockey yeah. in the 70s, too, was, like, you know, again, we said no helmets, not a lot of skill, just fights, tough
yeah.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wouldn't even train in the off season. They just
yeah.
like go and drink beer and smoke
yeah.
cigarettes.
Yeah, and that's all they do in this
yeah.
massive
there's,
training.
There's a hockey player, famous hockey player from the 70s, Guy Lafleur. He's
yeah.
this Montreal Canadiens guy. And I think he was known for like in between periods smoking like one or two cigarettes.
Like what?
Between each period. So it's
so
like,
funny.
There's no strength or conditioning
yeah.
training. Like these guys were just, yeah, like they just go out, play, fight, and then go get beers.
And complain about all the women in there.
Literally. yeah. Oh my goodness. But yeah, like I do want to touch on though, like how the contrast, and I think that was like a message at the end
mm-hmm.
of how, you know, it's so violent and gory. And then Michael Ancine's character does a striptease.
Yeah.
And they're all like offended. They're like, oh my God,
yeah,
you can't be doing
yeah.
that.
That other guy, is it Oglethorpe or whatever?
No, Oglethorpe was the enforcer. It was
it's
like
Dr.
Hook.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
McCracken. Yeah. That guy sucks.
Yeah, that was he was really freaky looking.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, are you not gonna do something about this to the ref? Like he's mm-hmm. like, this is disgusting. Yeah. Meanwhile, they're all like pummeling each other.
Yeah.
They're bleeding everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was
yeah.
it was interesting because I was like, so like, and then knowing that the movie was written by a woman too, I was
that
like, is this like trying to actually like say something? Like I don't
yeah.
know, or is it
yeah.
just like all for the sake of being like raunchy? But then it's mm-hmm. like, oh.
I feel like
I
it's a mix between the two.
Yeah, and then also because it's, like, from the
70s. Yeah.
yeah.
It's just like, oh, okay, like, maybe at the time, because it was also not, like, it was pretty panned, I think, when it came
yeah.
out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no,
so,
definitely.
So, I don't know.
There's, like, so many, though, like, one-liners or, like, quips from it, especially from, like, the Hanson brothers, because I just, like, they're so funny.
Also, I just love the, like, glad that they're wearing their glasses.
Oh, I know.
Because
right?
I'm just thinking about like Brock Faber.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
On the Minnesota Wild. Because like his like press photo or whatever, he's like wearing his glasses
yeah.
under his helmet. And I just like
so
thought
it's
of him.
So goofy. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
You're gonna get glass in your eyes. So,
yeah.
Like, there's this line where it's like before the game starts, they start this massive brawl.
Yeah.
And then it's like a hard cut to the anthem and they're all just bloodied and all fucked up.
Yes, yeah.
And then the ref comes up and he's like chewing out the Hanson brothers and he just like yells at him and just, I'm trying to listen to the fucking song.
Yeah.
It's like there's so many just stupid one-liners like that. That's so good.
One of my favorite lines from the movie that I thought was appropriate for us today was the announcer. When like they're having the brawl in the stands with the fans,
yes.
and he goes up, the announcer's like leaning over and he's like says into his mic, he's like, "Ladies and gentlemen, look at this!" And he's like, "Oh, you can't see that. I'm on radio."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Wait, I feel like I've done that before."
Oh,
like,
yeah. No, it's so funny. And then later on, he's like, "Oh, you know, the fans are standing up to them.
Yep.
The police are
standing
up to
yeah.
them. The peanut vendors are standing
that was
up
so,
to them.
That was
and
so.
Gosh darn it, if I were down there, I'd be standing up to them."
Yeah. Yes. And I love when, like, because the one Hanson brother's glasses are off
yeah.
and he, like, just punching anybody. And then the other one's like,
yeah.
no, not that guy. The other guy.
Yeah.
The other is.
You know that? That was actually influenced by an actual thing that happened in the NHL.
Oh, yeah.
So it
really?
Was like, it was, like, in the 70s, Boston.
Oh,
they
of course.
Just went in. Yeah, I know, right? They just went into, like, two players went into the stands, one of them being Mike Milbury, who was noted, like, arguably the worst general manager in the history of the NHL. He went into the stands and he, like, rips a guy's shoe off and he
oh
just
God.
Starts beating him with his shoe.
Crazy.
Like, genuinely,
hockey in the
what?
70s is like.
Oh, it's wild. It's
like, have you ever heard like the line, or it's like, oh, I went to, you know, go I went see to a fight and a hockey game broke out. The '70s.
Literally. Oh my it's God. Even prior to that, because the '60s, fifties, forties, like it was rough. Yeah. Like, I remember, like, especially like in Canada too, just going back to like Canada and hockey, mm-hmm. In Montreal, like they had this guy, Maurice Richard, all time great. Yeah. And he was like suspended, for like hitting a ref with his stick. Yeah. And the next game, like a bunch of fans showed up to protest because they thought like the NHL, which is stationed in Toronto, English-speaking Canada, they thought English-speaking Canada was like, you know, punishing French-speaking Canada for having a superstar. And the fans brought in like tear gas let it off in the stadium. And then it soon like spilled out into the streets and they had this riot. And yeah, like Maurice Richard had to like come on the radio and like plead with everyone to stop. But that influenced the Quiet Revolution in Canada, which went on to be like Quebec separatism.
Damn.
And,
wow.
Two separate occasions, they went to vote to separate from Canada and didn't go through. But it just shows how important hockey is to Canada, because, you know, something like this can have a massive ripple effect and have these crazy political implications.
Yeah, which I think we've definitely felt with the Four Nations face-off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We 11th province, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it did feel like it was, I mean, all these people were like, oh, like sports are not political, this is so stupid. And I was like, I'm sorry, anytime you have, especially something Four Nations, whatever, you want to argue that like the NHL isn't political, okay, but like if you have Four Nations face-off or the Olympics where it's literally different players from different countries representing their countries playing each other, like there's obviously going to be a political aspect to that.
There, I know Miracle, definitely, like that one is very political.
Yeah.
Because we'll touch on that one later. But there's this other one that preceded that. It was the 1972 Summit Series between Canada and the USSR. And it was like the first time like NHL Canadians played like the best Russian hockey team. And it was almost like a little like microcosm of the Cold War, how it just impacted everything. And like everyone was like tuned in. And of course, because hockey is the best, it has like hockey is so dramatic.
Yes.
When it gets in these like crazy scenarios, like, you know, the Four Nations, like the Summit Series, even like 2010 Olympics.
Yes.
Huge, huge, huge. But yeah, like it's crazy how someone can argue that sports is inherently not political when
it
has this real world effect. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to wrap up on Slapshot.
Yeah.
Another thing that we did enjoy was some of the music. There were a couple Fleetwood Mac songs in there, which
unexpected bangers.
Yeah.
There's this one song. I think it's by this artist Maxime Nightingale. Mm-hmm. And they play it all throughout the movie when they're on the bus. And I've had that song stuck in my head.
Right back where we started, bro.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's been in my head since I was like 8. And it's just such a banger. But also Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, can't go wrong. Mac.
Never can go wrong with Mac.
And we're going to be macking it up for the next 4 minutes. Here is Rhiannon by Fleetwood Mac. Not only from Slapshot, but from Slapshot for all intents and purposes of this week.
Thank you.
All right, that was Rhiannon by Fleetwood Mac. You've probably heard it before. You'll probably hear it again, but it's in Slapshot. If you feel like getting your Mac on, watch Slapshot for Rhiannon. Not for
and
myself.
Mike, and Michael Onkin.
And Michael Onkin.
And the Hanson brothers.
Exactly. Yes. Just fast forward all those parts and you'll get the best of the best.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking about a decidedly different kind of hockey movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is Miracle, which
on ice.
On ice.
Gotta get the full title.
To, Miracle off ice.
Yeah.
This is about the what year is it?
1980
men's American Olympic
hockey team
win mm-hmm. over the USSR. So based off a true story.
It is.
And filmed at UBC. So
oh, it was?
Oh my, yeah. There's one scene where they're in like the Totem Park residence, like walking around.
Wait,
oh
stop.
My goodness. Okay. Hold on. I think I recognized something and I was like, wait, yeah. This looks familiar.
Well, the whole thing was filmed in like BC. Like they're down like Abbotsford and stuff
in Westminster
for like all the arenas.
Right.
But yeah, no, they filmed like in like Totem Park.
Wow.
Like right after the one guy refuses to do his quiz or whatever and he like
right.
leaves the door.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're totally right. Yeah. Oh my god.
It is I saw it, I was like, oh my god, UBC. So for a very American appearing film, it is Canadian produced.
See.
Huh.
You could take the hockey out of Canada.
Exactly.
You can't take you can't take Canada out of hockey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go.
We got there.
We got there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't, guys, I told you I was slacking. I didn't watch this one. But I'm not going to have much to say.
That's fair.
But it's very American. So I was like, I don't really care if I don't watch this.
Yeah.
But now I do want to watch it for seeing UBC in it.
Yeah, I know it's crazy. So you're like, oh my God. I've eaten there. I'm literally like on my way to the dining hall. Like I've seen this 50,000 times. But honestly, like as a movie itself, it's very much your standard inspirational sports movie fare. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You know.
It's the pinnacle for like the hockey movie of that archetype.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing else really, I don't think, that compares.
Oh, yeah. Like it follows all your typical beats, you know, like, oh, the unconventional coach who's kind of mysterious and he's got his ways and everyone's going to do it his way, but he's actually got a heart of gold and he loves this team because they're a family.
And there's the one player that has his past traumas that's affecting him and he doesn't want to do it the coach's way, but then they see eye to eye at the end. And then there's the other player who's injured, but the coach is like, oh, he's going to come back. He's going to come back, and he comes back.
And he clutches
and then,
surprisingly.
I'm guessing a miracle happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus comes down onto
literally.
The ice.
McJesus?
Yeah.
McJesus? Oh, my goodness.
He pulls up. But,
there you go.
This is like, the best way I can describe this is very, like, light dad movie. Like, this is like, your dad's kind of, like, introducing you to movies he liked before he starts throwing all the, like, Saving Private Ryan.
Exactly.
It really traumatize you.
Because this is a Disney movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just reading that as well.
Yeah.
And you could tell.
No, absolutely. Like, I was just thinking, like, the soundtrack and the score is so Disney-coded. Like, it's like, I can't even remember it right now because it's just... massive string orchestrations and you know it's so unmemorable, but it's like that, like, you know, it makes you feel
it's like
good,
the heart swelling,
exactly.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
It's like half the subtitles are just like triumphant music.
Yeah,
swelling.
It's always triumphant.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they can't always be triumphant. I mean, they are in this, but even in their lowest moment it'll still be triumphant music, like,
because they're American.
Literally,
because Americans are always triumphant. Emma, don't you know?
This is next to Rocky IV, one of the greatest pieces of American propaganda I've ever seen. And it helps that, like, it is a true story. And everything that happens, pretty, like, it happened in real life, especially the last game, because I was reading into it. And, you know, just the last game felt just so dramatic. And it just felt like straight out of a movie plot. Like, it had to have, like, been embellished to make it fit a movie. But no, everything that happened in that last game happened in real life.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because another thing, too, that I love is just the idea of, like, you feel this, like, idea of McCarthyism playing throughout the movie, because the Russians, you never see like an individual Russian character, maybe the coach, but like it's just the entity of the USSR.
Yeah.
That's present throughout, and it's kind of looming over, and it's this great Red Scare, this great threat. And you can definitely, like, it was definitely alive in the 80s. I think this was Jimmy Carter was in office, but when Reagan came in, like, it was amplified. And then, yeah, before that with, like, you know, Kennedy and Lyndon B. And just, yeah, the McCarthyism that was just running rampant throughout the U.S.
You totally see, like, even in, like, cinema, like, Red Dawn.
Yes. That sort of thing. Like, that's a huge
bringing
one,
that back. And it's just, like, it's the undercurrents of it are so pervasive in, like, all movies. And this one especially, it's not even, like, an undercurrent. This is very, like, explicit.
Yeah, because the movie starts with this, like, montage of, like, throughout, like, the years since, like, World War II or something like that of how, like, you know, I think there's, like, the space race in it. And there is, like, there's just a bunch of, like, Watergate, montages of, like, you know, Nixon and Watergate. Yeah, and, like, just political stuff. And again, going back to saying, like, hockey, you know, it is political. Like, it's literally in the fucking start of the movie telling you this is has so many political implications. But, yeah, I mean, for what it is, I think it's great. It's a good movie. Again, I wish I watched this before the tariffs and Trump came in and before, like, the 51st state and the four nations, because I definitely would have liked it better.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, so American.
Yeah.
And it pisses me off as someone who's such a diehard Canadian hockey fan that it's like, okay, where are we?
Where's our golden goal movie, guys?
Yeah, literally. Who's going to play Sidney Crosby? Yeah. Who's going to play him? Bill Hader.
That's
oh, my God.
Put him on ice.
Bring him in. Skate.
What if we had, I think Nathan MacKinnon should play Sidney Crosby.
Oh, my goodness. That'd be funny.
I love their Tim Hortons commercials.
Oh, they're so funny. They've been doing them for years.
I know.
But this run of them where they're, like, wearing fake mustaches and stuff, it's
with
so
the
goofy.
The handlebar mustache?
Yeah, it's so
that's
funny.
A Slapshot reference,
there
you guys.
Go. There you go.
I'm seeing it now. Next 5 years, Sidney Crosby movie.
Oh, there has to be.
Oh, yeah.
There has to be. He's the GOAT.
Also, just talking about the commercials, you know, the one where they're, like, riding through the drive-thru on, like, a Zamboni or whatever? Shocking lack of, like, Zamboni jokes in Slapshot and Goon. Like, I'm just realizing, like, why wasn't there, like, a funny, like, Zamboni scene?
I don't even
scene?
Think we saw a Zamboni.
No. We didn't.
Maybe, like, once in, like, Slapshot in, like, the background.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's nothing with a Zamboni.
Which is crazy.
I feel like that's...
It's right there.
Like, it's right there.
Not even in Mighty Ducks, either.
It's like...
I've been watching it in so long, but, yeah.
Where's the Zamboni representation?
Literally.
Like, especially in the comedies, like, Zamboner is right there. Like, I we're not.
I think
using
you need
it.
To write a movie, Emma.
I'm
write a hockey movie.
Slapshot 2. I'm bringing back Paul Newman from the dead.
Oh my God!
Him in his fur coat. He's coming.
Can
back.
You get Michael Ontkin to come out of retirement? He's still alive.
Yeah.
He's still alive.
Get
right?
the Hanson brothers.
Oh,
yeah. He's just like
he's like I don't want to do anything.
Yeah,
with
he's like
he's gonna
knows
come back for Slapshot 2. Redo the striptease. It's gonna be great.
And it will start with Mo getting decapitated.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Put him in the guillotine.
Also, like, Michael Ankin is from Vancouver.
He
I had
is.
To fact check that before
nope,
I said out loud.
Huge.
But he is from Vancouver.
Yeah.
Huge day for Vancouver.
I hope
Vancouver.
He's a Canucks fan.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
That's and he he actually played hockey. Like, so.
He was good in, like, Slapshot, like, what we saw him skating around and the puck and
he's
stuff.
He's fine.
But back to Miracle.
Yeah. Like, I'm just, like, let's talk about Michael Ontkin.
Oh, I'd be down. So long as we talk about Kyle MacLachlan,
too. Oh, come on. Like,
but,
that White Boy of the Week episode.
Oh,
yeah. Again.
Literally.
Don't give me any ideas.
But, yeah, like, Miracle, it's just, it's very, like, cookie cutter, like, it's very, like, you know, it doesn't take any risks. Like said, it hits everything beat for beat for beat throughout the whole movie. And, like, something that I appreciate about Goon and Slapshot, at least, is the fact that there's distinction between all the characters
on
the team. Whereas in Miracle, I could not tell anyone apart.
No,
they all blended together.
Doesn't help that there's also, like, 21 white guys just running around.
Yeah.
They're just throwing, like, names at us. It's like, oh, that's Bob. That's Robert. And it's like, I'm not going to
That's the same name. That's the same name.
Literally. It's the same person.
Yeah. You know, like, it's just, like, some guy with, like, vaguely curly hair. It's like, oh, my God. They're throwing another at me.
It killed me so much when I got to the credits. And it was, like, saying, like, all their, like, the actors, and they played this guy. And then it showed, like, what the actual, like, person on the team did for, like, their livelihood. And it was all, like, real estate. like that, finance.
It felt so like it, weirdly demotivating.
No,
like,
literally.
Just seeing all these people just being like hedge fund manager, PFA. It's like, oh my God. So none of you like played hockey?
No, literally. It's like, I actually did see though, like, so, like a bunch of them actually played hockey. I think it's a 21-person team. They got down to 20. And I think it was 13 of them made it to the NHL.
Oh.
Three of them played over 1,000 games.
Damn.
And, yeah, like, they, like some of the guys actually had success playing hockey. It's just what they became. Because this movie is 2004.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
takes place in the 80s. The typical, like, hockey career, I would say, is like 15 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah. you know, by the time Miracle comes out, they're all retired. They're all doing God knows what. Oh, actually, God knows.
Yeah.
Real estate.
God
knows. Finance.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, that's a very much like a hockey player retirement plan where they always get involved in stuff like that. It's,
oh, yeah.
You know, especially real estate. There's so many hockey real estate guys.
It's crazy. Like, they're going to, like,
the fuck, dude?
Sidecheck you or something if you don't buy a house.
Yeah, literally. But,
oh, my God.
Yeah, like, I do want to say, though, like, the final game, though, like, again, it was. Everything that happened in the game, it felt like it was, like, written for a movie.
Yeah.
But it actually happened. Mm-hmm. So, like, they scored with, like, 1 second left in the first period to tie the game at 2-2. The second period started, and they pulled their star goalie, the Russians, or the USSR, sorry, the Soviets. And that guy, Vladislav Tretiak, I believe his name is. He, I like, in the hockey world, he is underappreciated because he is, like, an all-time great. It's just he never played in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think people don't give him his flowers. But he was, like, the guy in the 72 Summit Series. He was the guy all throughout, like, those crazy juggernaut USSR teams.
Yeah.
And he was their star. And I strongly believe that had they kept him in, they would have won that game because he's just that good.
Well, even,
but
like, in the movie, they say he's like the best goalie.
He is.
Like, live.
Yeah, he was the best goalie in the world, I think, at that point. Besides, like, you know, like a handful of guys, maybe like Ken Dryden or Terry Sawchuk, or, you know, I'm just throwing out old fucking hockey names. But yeah, like he got pulled in the second period. Or when the second period started, and then there was that hit on the goalie, and then, like, he goes down, but he gets back up, and then the last, like, they scored to go up 4-3, the Americans, at the 10-minute mark, and then everything, that happened, like, it just happened, and I like how they threw in that very famous clip of Al Michaels going, oh, do you believe in miracles at the end? Because, like, the audio from the movie is actually the audio from the broadcast, and like it's very good, and I do appreciate about this movie in comparison to the other movies how it really focused on the hockey.
Yeah,
and we actually saw hockey being played, and like it was. I appreciate that. Don't appreciate the Americans, but it was for what it was good.
Yeah, I'd say like this and Mighty Ducks were definitely the most hockey forward.
Yeah.
But even Mighty Ducks, like, goes off on its little
stories. It does,
I mean, it's a given. It's a, like, Disney kids movie.
Exactly.
Which, for what it was, I mean, I enjoyed it. I'd never seen it until 10 minutes ago.
I watched it, like, an hour ago.
Yeah.
For, I don't know, I haven't seen it for, like, a decade. But should we transition into
Mighty Ducks? Yeah, I think we can do a little rapid-fire Mighty Ducks, because I think we've all seen it however recently. I don't think.
I watched it, like, when I was maybe, like, 10.
So recently.
Within the last 10 years.
Within a decade.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was fun when I watched it.
No, it is fun.
It's like, I think it's really funny how, like, it's like, oh, the Mighty Ducks, and then, like, that literally.
They inspired
the
team
NHL
in Anaheim.
Team.
Yeah,
like,
they literally did. They were called the Mighty Ducks for the first, like, well, 10 years, and then they just rebranded to the Ducks.
But I like that they have, like, the old logo again now.
Yes.
With the, like, the goalie.
Such a peak logo.
Bill, the duck bill.
Mm-hmm. It is such, it's such a peak logo. It.
And I honestly peak like jersey. The orange, but I don't like the Ducks.
Yeah.
Because they had, like, a rivalry with Calgary. Like,
oh, yeah.
They were enemy number
one. You could not win in the Honda Center.
Yeah.
Damn.
And then they just screwed us over because they beat us. We should have won that game. I'm talking about this season. And then they lost to Minnesota, I think. And that meant Minnesota could go through even though we won all of like our last three games.
If it makes you feel better, the Canucks this year, we had a crazy last minute comeback against Dallas.
That was wild.
Where we scored like three goals in the last minute to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Had we not done that, we would have gotten fourth overall in the draft. Damn. We would.
Are you team tank?
When my team is out, I'm team tank. Yes.
I'm not team tank ever.
I hate the fact that North American sports makes me want my team to lose.
Yeah.
Because something I appreciate about like European football is the relegation system.
Yeah.
And how
I don't know anything about this.
So it's like if like the last three teams in the league, like the bottom three teams, they go down to the league before. Or like below them. So it'd be like if we had like the top three teams in the AHL and the bottom three teams in the NHL if they swapped.
Oh my, bye bye San Jose.
Yeah. So long, Chicago.
Yeah. Oh my, bye bye Bedard. Oh my God.
But yeah, like that incentivizes you to like want your team to win so you don't get relegated.
Yeah.
But like this, like you in like North American sports, hockey, basketball, football, baseball. You want your team to lose so they can secure a better draft pick at the draft and get a chance to, you know, select a good prospect.
Yeah. Which, good for the Islanders. They need that.
They need it. I'm happy for them. You know, they have Bo Horvat. That was my favorite Canuck for a long time.
Matt Barzal from
Vancouver. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Huge Vancouver representation today.
On yes.
Please.
Every single movie.
Literally.
Also, loved how, like, every... Well, I mean, in Goon and Slapshot, there were, like, characters from Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Yes.
And, like, both times when people said Saskatchewan, they, like, were, like...
Yeah.
Like, they did not know.
Yeah, that was another line from Slapshot that I love is, like, at the beginning when they're doing, like, the fashion show.
Yeah, he's from Moose Jaw,
right?
And the
lady is like, now let me get this right. Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. It's like, oh, my God. It's so fucking funny.
The Saskatchewan disrespect is on another level in these movies.
Yeah, but, it's wild.
Can't catch a break.
The Mighty Ducks, though.
Yeah. Like, so we keep veering off the top track.
The Mighty Ducks.
That's what hockey does to you.
Yeah.
But
it's you know, Disney kids movie.
Yeah.
Like, watch it.
For a kids movie, it's great. You know, you got like all these different kids coming in.
Yeah.
Something that I found hilarious is Jesse Smollett is in this movie.
Yeah.
He's one of like the twins.
Oh my God.
In the movie.
Oh,
yeah. So as a kid. It's so funny. But, like, even this movie, you know, it's, like, they got girls on the team, too. They have, like, a figure skater come in, and she does this, like, crazy move to distract everyone, and then she, like, scores a goal afterwards.
Love it.
It's so good. There's, like, the tough kid that can't skate, but he has the crazy shot.
Yeah.
And he, like, shoots it, and it goes, like, through the netting. It's, like, Fulton Reed, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That guy. Weirdly, like, the most diverse hockey team, like, of all of these movies.
Yeah, in the second one, they learn from like street hockey people and like one of the team on the second one.
I remember watching the second one more than the first one.
Yeah, like Keenan Thompson is one of the kids in the second one. And he comes in and he joins the Ducks. He joins
the Mighty Ducks. I remember that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy. But it blows my mind though how Emilio Estevez's character, Gordon Bombay, how he gets like, because it starts with him, like, getting reprimanded for a DUI or something like that. And he gets, like, 500 hours of community service. And they give him, like, a hockey team. Like, a kid's hockey team to manage. And it's like, okay, you're giving this, like, alcoholic asshole drunk driving a fucking kid's hockey team.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
It's
pretty,
God.
Yeah, it's pretty, I don't want to say destructive, but, you know.
It works out.
It worked out, you know. You figured it out. And then, yeah, like, I like how they use, like, all these different, like, kids and like, you know, all their different like strengths to like the advantage of the team, and then you get like the iconic flying V at the end. And it's a great kids movie, but like for me it definitely is it's aged so much, and I cannot view it the same as I did when I was a kid. But
I think that's what, like, I never really watched any like Disney movies growing up that weren't like the classic like animated ones, so I think like for me this didn't even have that like kick of nostalgia. Like, I was very much just watching like, all right, okay, and the movie's over.
Literally
I watched a kids movie.
That one scene at the beginning where like the kids are like fucking with this guy guy in a car, and then it just like has that like
the sped up thing,
and it's just like, this is like, what is this?
Yeah,
it just looks so bad.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. And then like, I don't know, again, this has another weird like B plot love story where like he's trying to get with like this kid's mom on the team. And like, it's so like, I don't know if it feels forced or not. Like it little bit. It feels forced in and just like,
it's predictable if nothing
exactly.
else.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is what it is. But again, for like this one, it's good to see like the evolution of the team and like actually them playing hockey and like how you see the coach going from like, I hate kids, I hate hockey, and then it like you strip him back and he's like, okay, you know, he hates hockey because he fucked up in like a hockey game as a kid.
Yeah.
And then he's finding his love for it again. The kids all are liking him. And then there's like the classic like, third act where it's like, oh, this guy played for the other team, we hate him.
Yeah.
And now and then he comes back and he's like, guys, no, I quit my job for you guys. And they're like, quack, 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 quack.
Like, I know, it's like, how can you not? It's like, it's cute.
It is cute.
It's cute.
It is a cute kids movie. It's, and it's definitely a good
palate cleanser.
Oh, I'll no, absolutely.
Say. Oh my God. Yeah,
this one right after Slapshot.
Yeah. Like, crazy chaser.
Literally.
But, yeah, and I think that's pretty much all the time we got for hockey.
Yeah.
This week. Goodness.
But yeah, it was great to have you on, Zach.
It's great to be on as always.
And one, you were talking about all the great goalies.
Yeah.
My mom has an addition. You can probably guess who.
Hasek.
No, Dustin Wolf.
Oh, Dustin. Okay. Get out of here. I have two. Thatcher Demko, Kevin Lankinen, and one more for the road. Roberto Luongo.
Yeah, on the last one, but crickets for the rest.
Nah,
sorry.
Nah, nah.
Sorry.
I'm sure you got Canucks. Your audience out there.
Not my
sure
oh, in Vancouver? Canucks with the Canucks theme, the Vancouver theme this episode?
Yeah.
Oh, they're listening. They're loving it.
Hey, it's not a Vancouver theme. There's just some Vancouver references.
In, like, every movie.
Yeah. Well, twice is a coincidence.
Okay.
Three times.
It was, like, five, honestly.
The Canucks are pulling the strings on the hockey movies.
At least they're winning something.
No, we're never gonna win in my lifetime. And I will say, Dustin Wolf, great goalie, and I'm excited to have my Canucks play him in the future, because it's always good to see a good opposing team goalie. I loved Mika Kiprasov growing up.
Yeah,
that was a good one. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Edmonton's never had a good goalie.
Unfortunately, Edmonton. I think that's
unfortunately Edmonton.
Yeah, end of sentence. Let's just end the episode. Just talk shit about Edmonton.
What
fuck
a great
the
closer.
Oilers. Get a good
whoa,
goalie.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hate
we hate Stuart
together.
Skinnerd. We hate Calvin Pickard.
Guys, we gotta keep it.
I do not
it.
Like Darnell Nurse. McDavid, Dreisaitl. They get the pass. But fuck Evander Kane.
Okay, whoa, Zach.
Fuck Corey Perry.
Chill. We're on air. We gotta keep it a little bit clean. We might have some Edmonton listeners tuning in.
I get passionate when I talk about hockey. I'm sorry. This is a Vancouver Canucks fan.
Yeah.
Well, I need to let off the steam for this terrible season.
Yeah.
Ending the episode very different place than we started.
Yeah.
But we'll be back next week, 4 to 5, Real World, CITR. 101.9 FM.
And next week is our last episode of this term. And then we'll be back in September.
Yeah.
New season.
Hell yeah.
Season 2, Real World.
Yeah.
Season 2. And Banana.
Definitely not been going for years and years before us.
No.
And we'll continue beyond
it started with you guys.
Exactly.
It's ending with you.
Exactly. But speaking of ending things, this is it. We're rolling out. Very nice chatting about hockey with you, Zach. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you
for being here as per usual. I've been Emma.
I've been Hannah.
And I've been Zach.
Huge. We will be back next week. See you guys then.
See ya.